Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 123 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Jason Becher. Jason lives in the metro area of Kansas City, Kansas, where he is a Lutheran pastor. He's actually been actively involved in ministry work since 1994. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, thanks, Jen. Good to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to talk to you today. So, you know, as a podcast listener, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Well, to intermittent fasting as a diet plan. I know we don't like using those words, but it's kind of like a diet plan. Honestly, was watched some sort of random video. It was Dr. Oz. It was really.
I've never heard that one. That's a new one. I've never heard.
Yeah, he had some kind of health guru who eats 5,000 calories a day, and he only eats at 1 o'clock in the morning or something. But he's lost all this weight, and he's like in amazing shape. I remember watching that, going, huh. And so that was, gosh, probably like January 2019.
Okay.
And then it got me curious. And so I started kind of taking a look at intermittent fasting, because once I get curious about something, I start doing a lot of research, and came across your book and podcast, and started devouring some of that stuff. And then got started with intermittent fasting.
So what appealed to you from the beginning? Was it weight loss? You said, did you need to lose weight?
Oh, yeah. I definitely needed to lose weight again. I was probably about 225, 230 at the time. I'm about 5'8". And honestly, when I get to about 225, 230, that's usually when I go, okay, time to get serious, and I need to lose 20 pounds. And so I've probably done that about five or six times. with a wide variety of different types of diets that I've done. And progressively, a lot of them didn't work very well. Mm-hmm. And so intermittent fasting appealed to me because I'd done a wide variety of different spiritual fasts from anywhere from 1 to 3 days for over 20 years. But the idea of doing that day after day after day was like, okay, interesting. I'm not sure if I would have called that a fast if I would eat during a day, but my definitions began to change. So,
okay. So this by spiritual fasting, mm-hmm. Are you talking about Daniel fasting, that sort of thing, or more?
I did do some Daniel fast where I did some vegetarian sorts of fast. I did that actually once for like about 100 days.
Yeah.
And I lost probably about 20 to 30 pounds doing that, but also some just plain water fast though, as well, from 1 to 3 days, and had done an up to a 10-day fast before, which is just water fast. And that was absolutely miserable. Mm-hmm. I was miserable to be around, and I was tired all the time. But that was before doing intermittent fasting. I actually did another one actually in May, and it was 10-day fast, and it was totally different.
The first one that you did that was miserable, that was before you were an intermittent faster. Was that for spiritual reasons as well? Or okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just listeners, be cautious with fasts beyond 72 hours unless you're under medical supervision.
This last one, I actually told my doctor, I told my oncologist, I checked with them, I checked up with them and made sure that what was going on. And in fact, I was so energetic and so ready to go. I could have gone a lot longer, but I was like, no, 10 days was good.
But you were definitely under medical supervision one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. So 2019, that's when you came to intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started?
Well, I got started. I tried doing a 4-hour eating window, but I found that I was eating too much food because a 4-hour eating window meant go. You get to eat for 4 hours. And so I was eating way too much food. So I cut back to like a 1-hour eating window. And I did a 23-1 was what I did for probably about 3 or 4 months, and I got down to about 200, 205 was kind of where I was fluctuating at. And when I got down to that, after those couple of months, I did that without denying anything. I didn't change anything I ate. I still ate soda, pizza, I drank beer. I mean, candy. I mean, whatever. I mean, totally took to heart the delay, don't deny.
So that 1-hour window helped you to focus it. You didn't have to deprive yourself at all. You just could enjoy yourself in that window. Now, did you continue with the same tastes in food, or did those change at all?
Well, it's interesting because after doing that for several months, that weight came off the easiest of any of the weight that I've lost ever in any of the other diets, Nutrisystem, all those other kinds of things. This came off so fast that I was like, well, I could set a new goal. I'm like, I could go back to my college soccer weight and get to 165. And so, but I couldn't do that without changing something. So then I started denying candy, sodas, limiting alcohol and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that I could get down. And by last fall, I had gotten down to 180. So I was thrilled. I hadn't been 180 in forever, but.
So think about it as a longer delay. You know, you're delaying those things for longer to hit your weight goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did that until fall and you got down to about 180.
Yeah, and I was thrilled with that. And that was, I mean, I did hit plateau at 200 and then at 190, and it took a little bit more effort with what I was eating and those kind of things in order to get down to 180. And I think I was well on my way to get to 165, but life happens.
So life happens, and that's what we're going to talk about next. So what happened right there at that point? You were right around 180 and then life. What was that?
Well, I was over last fall, I thought I had a persistent cold that was going on. I was getting kind of progressively more tired. I still play soccer. I'm 49 years old. I still play soccer in full field every Friday nights, and was playing that all fall. And I just was progressively getting more and more tired. And finally went to the doctor and said, you know, I just got this cold. It's just persisting. I don't get this. And he's like, here, take this, take this. Maybe this virus will be kicked. And then during that next week, we played our last outdoor game of the season. And then we started indoor that next Tuesday. And I was in shape. So we went to play and I started and I ran up the field and I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't breathe at all and went to the sidelines. And then I did that like five other times during the game, tried to play, I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, I have no clue what's going on. So the next day I went and saw my doctor and he was clueless. And so he said, I'm going to send you for a chest x-ray. So we went and got a chest x-ray, came right back to the doctor's office. And the tech from the x-ray place had called and they said they found a large mass in the middle of my chest and they could not explain what it was. And they wanted me back immediately to get a CT scan. So I went and got a CT scan and they found a mass in the middle of my chest that was 3 centimeters by 5 centimeters. It was right in the middle of my chest and it was right around my esophagus. And so it was kind of choking me out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they gave me a second CT scan because the cancer had spread from there to in my, in up by my neck and also in my waist. So we needed to start getting biopsies and all that kind of stuff pretty immediately and moving forward with that. So
I know that had to be terrifying, but you knew something was wrong. And, you know, it's great that you weren't just like, oh, this fasting isn't working out. I'm so tired. You knew it was something else. So people who are fasting and have, you know, new symptoms, don't assume it's the fasting and go get it checked out, because that was absolutely not what was going on with you.
Well, no wonder it was hard to lose weight at the last part of it, because I was gaining weight from developing a tumor.
Yeah, your body is like, I got some other emergencies to work on right here. Exactly.
Exactly. So 2 weeks later, I finally got in to get a biopsy and all of that kind of stuff. And the cancer had already progressed. It was like 5 centimeters by 10 centimeters.
Wow. And just in like weeks?
Just 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, it doubled, really.
Yeah. And by the end of that week, when I had gotten the CT scan, I had actually checked myself into the emergency room because I could no longer breathe when I was laying down. I figured that I was going to die probably over the weekend because I was going to suffocate. Because this thing was just choking me out. It was a very aggressive form of cancer, so which called for a very aggressive form of chemotherapy, the treatments that they were going to end up giving me after they finally diagnosed me. So
yeah, and I know that was probably the scariest thing ever, was knowing that it was growing so fast and you couldn't breathe. Not being able to breathe is one of the worst feelings.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
So now you know you're going to have to go through chemo. Did you use fasting as part of your treatment? When did that come up?
I talked to my oncologist about it right away, about fasting during it. And he just looked at me like I had a horn growing out of my head.
Well, by that point, maybe it had spread to there, right? Maybe you did.
I'm pretty used to that look that people give you when you tell them about intermittent fasting, where
right.
You look like you're a unicorn and they're like looking at you going,
what? Yeah.
What are you talking about? And so I did a ton of research. He said, well, you can do it, I think. I mean, you just have to depend. And he's not sure. And so I started doing a lot of research about cancer treatments, and I looked up and down all kinds of different websites and stuff, and I couldn't find anything that was conclusively telling me for sure, you know, you really should keep fasting and keep doing this or not. I just said I was going to just trust my body in the middle of it, because I was like, you know, I don't know what to do. And I didn't want to just take a big gamble and fast like I normally did. I mean, I didn't want to gain a ton of weight, but I also didn't want to be unhealthy.
Exactly. That's important. And, you know, there are oncologists that do know about intermittent fasting and would.
My oncologist knows about intermittent fasting a lot now.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
3 months ago, we had a 45-minute follow-up after my cancer treatment. And 35 minutes of that entire time was talking about fasting.
Wow. So now we know. So starting, where did the research take you as far as, you know, the research with fasting and cancer? Because, I mean, I've researched it, obviously, enough to, you know, just mention it in Fast, Feast, Repeat, but not to the level that I'm sure you have. So what did you find?
I found anecdotal studies, mm-hmm. mostly. There wasn't really anything that was, there were a couple of studies I saw that said they sort of had some proof that was helpful, but honestly, there wasn't enough stuff out there for me to just confidently say, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just research on the benefits of fasting alongside chemotherapy to help you not have some of the side effects of chemotherapy.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen those.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And man, I tell you what, it was so strange because the type of chemotherapy I went through was a 5-day infusion. Mm-hmm. So I'd do this every 3 weeks where they'd hook me up to my IV and they would put the drugs in me for 5 days, 24/7.
Oh, did you do that in the hospital or did you do it at home?
I was the first one at our hospital to do it, home. So I went back and forth every day. Uh-huh. And so that from Monday to Friday, I had chemotherapy drugs going through me. And on top of that, I had to take steroids. I'd take 240 milligrams of steroids a day for 5 days.
And I know where this is going.
Oh my goodness. So when you're starting to trust your own tastes and what you're, I had to eat like all the time. And the only thing I could taste was sugar and really, really hot stuff. So I ate a lot of sugar and I ate a lot of food. I wouldn't like to eat breakfast or eat so many meals, but I'm like, I just feel like I got to eat. And so I ate 45 pounds worth. So,
yeah.
And just, I ballooned up pretty easily.
So it was right back to where you started, right?
It was. Yeah. which honestly could be massively discouraging after having lost the weight. In fact, when I had lost the weight and when I'm doing all the check-ins asking about if I've had any unexplained weight loss, unintentional weight loss, because these are all doing all these checks for whether you have cancer. And I'm like, no, it's not unintentional. I lost that weight on purpose.
I intended to lose every bit of it.
I lost it on purpose. I'm not going to give cancer any credit for that whatsoever. That was hard work.
Oh, yeah. So you did not fast through the chemo.
I tried to just do some windows, but it was really, really hard. And I really, really couldn't. And so but as I was going through that, even gaining all that weight, honestly, knowing that on the other side of this, that I could do intermittent fasting and lose it all, mm-hmm. again, what brought me a lot more hope than just kind of going, oh yeah, I'm gaining this weight. Here we go again.
Yeah. And I mean, your body was going through a lot, just, you know, steroids alone, not to mention the high doses of chemo that you were going through for 5 days at a time, but just steroids are known to pack the weight on.
Oh,
you know,
my
increased
goodness.
Hunger and... coupled with not being able to taste, gosh, I can only imagine what I would be gravitating towards in that same situation.
Yeah, I looked at the picture that I had that my wife took of the day after I was done with my last treatment. That was March 14th. She took a picture of me in the chair, and my head was probably, looks like, if you compare it now, it looks like it's twice the size.
Yeah, because you have that puffy face kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you finished chemo, all the treatment, March 14th.
Yeah, right when the whole pandemic and everybody locked down.
Right. And you're like, all right, I'm going home now. So what happened with the treatment at that point?
Treatments were done at that point altogether. I had already had a PET scan back in January, and they had already said that they'd gotten all the cancer. There was no cancer.
Just from the chemo?
Just from the chemo. They didn't end up doing radiation or anything, and the type of cancer I had was called primary mediastinal lymphoma. And gosh, and do research on lymphoma. I mean, when they told me I had lymphoma and I researched lymphoma, that took me, I think it was 5 minutes before I said, I'm not touching this. So I'm not going to research this because I have almost everything says very low chance, very low chance.
Wow.
And I don't have any idea what I have, so I'm not going to speculate. And so the type of cancer I had is a very rare form of lymphoma, less than 2% of all lymphomas. And in fact, people who get this are under the age of 35 and female. So,
okay. So it was a very unusual.
I don't qualify for either. And so,
yeah. But the prognosis was not good from what you were looking up.
Well, from a lot of lymphomas, this particular lymphoma, even though it's very rare, the prognosis was actually pretty good overall from the types of treatments that they've had.
And so your chemo got rid of it completely.
Yes. Yeah. I'm totally cancer free. Got to ring the bell and all that kind of fun stuff.
Oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. That's good. So how long did you go through that treatment from?
From like right around Thanksgiving to March. Yeah.
So by the time this podcast comes out, it will be Thanksgiving Day. We were talking about this before I clicked the record button. This podcast is coming out Thanksgiving Day, even though we're recording it in September. So it'll be right around the year mark from when you started the whole process.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It really, really is. So, you know, let's go to March. What's happened since March?
Since March, after I was done with my chemo treatments, I'm a go-getter, so I like to, you know, start moving on. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to start losing this weight. And, well, I had other health issues that I did not realize that the chemo had drained me of like half my blood. And so I was functioning on about half a tank of blood. I was like,
oh my gosh,
it was like really close to needing a blood transfusion. I went out just to put fertilizer on my lawn, and 10 minutes in, I'm looking, I have one of those watches that keeps your pulse. Like, I'm out of breath. And I'm looking at my watch and look at my pulse, and it says it's 185 beats a minute.
Ooh, that's not a good sign.
So I was like, and I was having some fainting spells as well. And so I was like, oh man. So I had to continue eating a couple of meals a day for a while. And I would try for like a week or so with fasting. And then I would have a fainting spell and say, okay, I got to take 2 weeks off. And I go back to eating, and I would go back and forth until May 1st. I started, so for this whole month, I'm going to do one meal a day. That's what I'm going to do for the whole month. And since May 1st, I didn't have any relapses and didn't have any fainting spells or anything like that. So I did one, I started at 225 May 1st. And then the end of the month was when I had my 10 day spiritual fast. Though as well. In the middle of the pandemic, I know I was even listening to you guys saying, don't do long fasts. And I'm like,
well, there was that going around at the beginning of the pandemic, just not knowing what a long fast, you know, we know fasting is good for our immune systems, but a long fast, you know, you might have a period of where your immune system is a little more vulnerable as it's healing, you know, than the healing crisis.
Like really
yeah,
vulnerable.
Yeah. So you're like super vulnerable and fasting for 10 days and my goodness.
And I lost a lot of weight during that 10-day fast, but I wasn't counting on keeping that weight off because, I mean, it was pretty much you're going to gain most of that weight back.
Right.
And I gained quite a bit of it back.
Your motivation for that 10-day fast was healing, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your oncologist was all fine with that?
He was, actually. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, talking with my oncologist, he wanted to know, so what are your protocols? What do you do? How are you doing this? And so we got into really, really long conversations. My regular doctor, he and I have sat and talked for a couple hours about fasting, and he's actually become a intermittent faster as well, and is prescribing that for some of his patients as well. So it's been an interesting conversation with doctors in this process, and so far they've been supportive. My oncologist, not necessarily right off the bat, because his main process was, I'm here to save you.
Well, I think that's just fantastic, you know, that your doctors were open-minded, especially, you know, your oncologist not knowing about it and then being open-minded and listening to you. And the fact that your regular doctor listened to you for an hour and now is fasting and prescribing fasting, that's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. So, and we've had lots of people in our community who have started fasting over the last year and a half, and it's been fun. Watching.
It really is. So you're a talker. You tell people about it.
Oh yeah. I'm a pastor. I can't help but
yeah.
talk.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Were you like me in elementary school, where you had to like sit by the wall and you couldn't sit by anybody because you would talk to anyone at all times? Or were you a rule follower? See, I would get in trouble.
No, I was definitely a talker, without a doubt. No, I mean, if you go back and look at probably a lot of my my grade cards, they probably says talks too much, needs to keep more focused. Yeah. No, and in fact, in kindergarten, halfway through kindergarten, they gave me an ultimatum. They said, he has to learn the alphabet or he's going to have to stay here.
You could just talk it out, right?
Right.
That's so funny. So you have, are a lot of people in your church doing intermittent fasting now?
We've had quite a few people that have done intermittent fasting, and some people have really liked it and stuck with it, and others, you know, they've used it at times and not stay with it. They kind of look at me like I'm, you know, a little bit crazy, but it's okay.
That's all right.
Not the first time I've been looked at like I'm crazy. So,
ditto. I get it. But, you know, they'll stop looking at you like you're crazy, you know, the longer time goes on.
Yeah.
You know, as you continue to heal. You know, you certainly don't look like someone who's just been through radical cancer treatment, and it's been, gosh, I don't even know how many months. I just have to count on my hands here.
What? 6 months since my last treatment.
Because we're recording, like I said, in September. So it's been 6 months. And yeah, do you feel like you're back to your old self, back to normal?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And I could tell it this summer already that I was starting to feel better, because when I was preaching, I do a lot of extemporaneous preaching. And I mean, I write down some notes, but I keep track of everything. I plan it in my head, but I don't necessarily need to write all my notes out in order to do that. But during my chemo treatments, I had chemo brain globally. Oh, yeah. And I couldn't think. I mean, I was like writing out everything, and I'm like feeling like this feels absolutely wooden. I feel like I'm like reading this. And it's like, oh, people are like, no, we didn't even notice. And I'm like, people also told me I looked great. So and I've looked at
well,
the
people
picture.
are kind, right?
Well, yes.
They're not going to say, you look awful, and man, your sermons are boring. they're not going to tell you that because they love you.
Right. So I think it was like, I think they were just saying, you know, your attitude is great. Your attitude looks great. So therefore, we're just going to say you look great too.
There
so.
You go. You're alive.
Right. Exactly.
That's great. It's good to have a supportive congregation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I've also gotten back to exercise. I'm back to playing soccer.
So you're back to doing all that.
To playing on a regular basis. And we've actually got a Peloton, and I've been doing a lot of biking and exercising. I hate running. So, I like chasing balls. The ball.
Well,
around, been doing that.
That's
kind of
running.
Stuff,
but, yeah. I don't like any kind of running. No, you know the saying: if you see me running, you better start running too, because something's chasing me.
Right.
Yeah. That's
well, when
true.
I lived down in Florida, you only had to outrun the next person because it was a gator that was probably chasing.
I was thinking about the gator. Yep. That's right. So no more shortness of breath while you're running.
Nope. Not at all.
I know that feels great. So your wife, is she an intermittent faster as well?
She has done intermittent fasting off and on, and has had some success. Not totally the kind of success that I've had, but she is plugging away and still trying. She's a school teacher as well. So she teaches third grade.
Such a good grade. Third graders. Is she back in face-to-face school?
They're doing entirely offsite.
The whole school system is?
Yeah, their whole school system right now is just on computer. And so then eventually they're going to do hybrid, I think, in like 2 weeks. But
okay. So she'll get back in there. I know that's so hard for teachers. I can't even imagine. It's been a challenge.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And the same thing for our kids. We have two kids in high school, though, as well. My daughter, who's a senior, and son, who's a freshman, just starting in high school. So this is all just strange.
It really is. And I know that for the senior, it's got to be really hard because she's missing out on milestone events.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for these kids.
Yeah. Even going through the process, I mean, last year for the kids to not do like graduation, like right at the end of the year, and they sort of did something in July. But I mean, it's just, it's all very different. I can't even imagine what that would be like as a student going through that and then trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to college? Am I going to college? What am I going to do with my...
That's going to be the hardest part.
I'm supposed to be trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life right now and not trying to figure out, okay, how am I safely going to go to school and then do all this other stuff? So,
yeah. What a weird time we're in, right?
That's for sure.
I went to the post office this morning and I was juggling the mail and trying to put on a mask. And I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, putting on my mask. We're all standing on our line 6 feet apart. I was like, it just feels like a movie.
And I have a funny story about that because I was during my cancer treatments. So right. Before all this coronavirus stuff hit, I was wearing masks into grocery stores. I was social
distancing. Because you were immunocompromised, right?
Right. So I was wearing masks into grocery stores and people would look at me absolutely weird. They'd look at me like, you're sick. Why are you in the grocery store? Why are you here?
And so,
exactly, you're wearing a mask. This is strange. So then I stopped wearing a mask and I just started socially distancing from people. I just started looking like, I just wouldn't look like I was staying away from people, but I was staying away from people.
This is before the pandemic.
Oh yeah, this is before the pandemic. Yeah, yeah. People would start getting close to you and I would start backing away. And I'd just back away further and they just keep coming. I'm like, okay. You can stay there. That's fine.
And it was before it even had a name though, right?
Right. Before anybody else was doing it, I was trendsetting.
There you go. You're ahead of the curve.
Oh, geez.
In all the way. Sorry.
No, that's good.
So, you know, here we are now wearing our masks and feeling like they're here to stay.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I hope your wife gets back into the classroom in 2 weeks. Like they're saying.
So. I hope so too. But at least she got to meet her kids when they handed out their iPads. So, because that was the strangest part, to start teaching kids with not even meeting them or knowing who they were. Before when she was doing teaching last spring, she'd had a relationship with the kids.
Right.
But if the first time you meet your kids is going to be online, that just would be odd. So thankfully they had, when they checked out their iPads, the teachers were all there to check them out to the student and the parents, so that they actually, even with a mask on, they at least met them physically rather than just the first time they meet them is an online classroom. Here you go.
Now, did your church have to be virtual as well?
We did at the beginning, as we weren't sure where things were going. We did totally virtual with just me in the sanctuary preaching by myself, which was really, really weird.
I bet that was weird. Because, you know, we thriving, talking to a real person, to an audience. Like, I'm a teacher, you know, so I'm used to being in front of people, having to talk just to a camera.
Yeah, I've tried. When I was at seminary, they required us to record ourselves preaching and then to sit down with a professor and go over that sermon. And I did it without anybody in. And that was a mistake. And so this is just horrible because I love talking to people. And communicating to people versus I'm just sharing stuff with nobody.
To a camera. Yeah, it's really, really hard.
At least a Facebook Live, there was like little likes sometimes or somebody would say hi or something. But it was still, I was in a room by myself for like 3 weeks, which was great for immunocompromised guy being in a room.
Well, that's true. That worked out well.
All by myself. And then slowly we brought our worship team back in, so we at least had music. And then May 1st, we started having people back in physically in worship, social distance and all that kind of stuff, though, too. So we've been back for a while, but not everybody's been comfortable coming back.
Right.
and a slow trickle for people that come back. So
what does your fasting practice look like today? I know you had gotten to, you know, before the cancer diagnosis, you had gotten to 23-1 most days. And what does your fasting practice look like today?
Today, well, this summer, June, I didn't do anything. That was my birthday month. I celebrate birthday months. No, I don't celebrate days. So, my birthday month, I said, I'll eat a meal or whatever I want. Didn't lose any weight, but didn't gain any weight either. So I was stuck at 205. And so I said, I'm going to step it up and do alternate day fasting.
Okay.
In July. And so I did in July and in August, I did 2 days of alternate day fasting. I didn't.
So like 2 down days a week.
Right. So Tuesdays,
like a down day.
Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Okay. And
it was tough to do refeed day. Just keep eating. It's like, okay, eat two meals and then snack in between. It's like, okay, do I really need to do this? But I found that when I actually eat more, I lose.
See, that is so important. And I'm glad that you said that. A lot of people say that. And, you know, but that's why we recommend it. You know, it's a well-researched protocol, but I never had trouble eating. I don't know. People are like, I have so much trouble eating two meals. I'm like, I never had trouble eating two meals. But I believe that people do. I believe them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of my moderators that are in the Facebook groups, they had early copies of Fast, Feast, Repeat. And so they read them and they read, you know, I was very emphatic in Fast, Feast, Repeat about having the up day after the down day. And one of my fabulous moderators who leads Mealless Monday, shout out to Roxy, mm-hmm. but she said that was such an aha moment for her. She realized what she'd been doing wrong. And a lot of them said the same thing, that they had been treating their up days as more of a diet day and not as a true up day. And that when they truly embraced the refeed of the up day, then the scale started to move. And it's counterintuitive and completely against what calories in, calories out would teach you. But
yeah. And so I actually end up with like a 6 hour eating window, 6 to 8 is kind of what I end up doing. And I eat a fair amount. I mean, I usually eat like a breakfast or lunch and a snack in between, or I do lunch and dinner and snack either in between or even afterwards. But even now, I'm still actually restricting some things though as well.
Delaying
because I want to get to my goal. So I've cut out sugar again. I cut out sodas, and so I'm only like at the end of the month am I allowing myself a party weekend to have a beer with a burger or pizza. And to eat some, blow pops. Blow pops are just, they are my weakness.
Green apple.
I can start with
those
like,
were my favorites.
Cherry. Oh man, I can start with one blow pop, and pretty soon, the bag is gone. So
I haven't had a blow pop in, I don't know, decades, but the green apple were my favorite. I loved them. No, they were good.
Those are pretty good. So
I'll give you all the watermelon out of the bag.
So I've been doing the 2 days during July and August, and it got down to about 183. And then September, I decided I was going to do the three down days.
So a 4-3 approach. So 3 down days, 3 up days. What do you do on that other day?
That other day, it varies. Sometimes I've only done it a couple of weeks. So
okay. We're
just into September. And in fact, was it? Trying to remember, keep track of my days. So Friday was my up day, and then Saturday was going to be my one meal a day. And then I was going to have a down day yesterday, but we had a golf tournament for our childcare center and barbecue that we were having. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I probably, it's people, it's stuff. It's we're doing stuff together. So I've always kind of said, you know what, this stuff is important, but it's not that important. If I'm going to be with people, it's important to eat. And so I did that then. So Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays are the days that I, and actually was just hearing you on the podcast the other day, actually just saying that was what you were doing. So
that's what I did when I was doing 4-3, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday were the days. When I did a 5-2 approach, Monday and Thursday were the days. But yeah, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, those were the ones. And I would imagine that, you know, I do my best work in the fasted state. So I would imagine that you would want to preach on a Sunday and not be all bogged down with a lot of food.
Oh, yeah. And I wasn't a big breakfast eater anyhow. I hardly ever ate breakfast. And the whole coffee thing, I've been, I look at people when they put cream in their coffee, and I've always, oh, is that really coffee?
Hot milkshake.
Oh, so I've always had black coffee, very dark roasted coffee. That's all. Mm. I'm kind of a coffee snob that way, but I've always had that. So just drinking coffee on an empty stomach, limit myself to a pot a day for sure. So
that's what I do too. I brew one pot and then I just drink it and I stop around noon.
Yeah, that's probably been the toughest part for my wife is she loves putting hazelnut creamer in her coffee.
That is a real struggle for many. You know, I've theorized that if just the whole world just went to black coffee, what a difference it would make. And even if no one started fasting, if everyone just started drinking their coffee black.
Well, and the bizarre thing about your talking about the drinking coffee, even on an empty stomach, I always had people tell me, you really shouldn't be drinking coffee on an empty stomach anyhow. You shouldn't be drinking that caffeine and that black coffee. You shouldn't be drinking that. I mean, that's going to be just eating your stomach. And I'm like, I'm fine. I've been doing this for over 20 years and I'm okay for now.
And that's just so funny to think about because our stomachs are full of stomach acid, which can digest a steak. Mm-hmm. And yet we're worried that coffee is... No.
I know.
But people say that. They're like, I have to have milk in my coffee. Otherwise, I'm like, no, that's not true. Your stomach can take it.
Yes. Yes, it definitely can.
Oh, goodness.
So that's kind of my protocol right now is doing the alternate daily fasting, doing the 4-3 approach. And last week, I hit 180.
Awesome. So you're back there. So
back there. But I'm not done.
No. And now that you're healthy and rolling along and... So the alternate daily fasting routine just really feels good to you right now.
Oh, yeah. Very, very comfortable. It's, not necessarily super comfortable with my family because everybody else eats every day and all the time. And so it's like, okay, we need to do lunch, dinner, make sure that everyone's fed and everything else is going on. But, I'll be fasting for a day or doing a workout and they bring home some food and just fills the house with food. And I'm like... Really?
Or I remember my husband would be like, can you fix me? Such as, and I'm like, no, I cannot. I was a little grouchier on 4-3 and 5-2 than I am with the daily eating window. I have to admit it. The days that I would do a full fast and not eat, it was my full down day. I remember him sitting by me on the couch eating tortilla chips, and I wanted to, throat punch him. Happened more than one time. Yeah.
But honestly, I really like how I feel when I'm fasted.
Me too.
Overall. And I'm a lot clearer minded. I'm able to be focused on all kinds of thinking activities or projects that I need to do, even exercise. I really enjoy the fasted state. So it's not like I'm going, oh man, I can't wait to eat. No, it's fine.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I actually am taking part. Have you read Fast, Feast, Repeat?
Yep.
Okay. Well, the PREDICT study that I talk about in there where they're studying personalized nutrition with your blood glucose response. I'm going through their study right now, PREDICT 3. And it's fascinating. So I'm wearing, can you see my continuous blood glucose monitor on my arm?
Oh, my goodness.
It's fascinating. And I had to eat these muffins that they sent me the past 2 days. I had to wake up in the morning at 8 in the morning and eat these muffins that they sent me. It was so hard. I would never eat a dry muffin at 8 in the morning.
Wow.
For any reason.
So how does that work with your once and...
Well, I had to take two days of... I did not do fasting for 2 days. It was weird. And I had to eat these muffins, and then I had to wait 4 hours and then eat two more muffins and then wait 2 more hours. And basically, it was testing my blood glucose response to see one of the muffins, and they were not very good. One of the muffins had a high fat content. The other one was really sugary. And so it was just really interesting to see. They're going to analyze all the data and then let me know what it says about my body. But it was just so weird. I'm like, this is what it felt like to be on one of those low-calorie weird diets where you wake up and eat some diet breakfast. That's what it felt like. And then I felt horrible. And the first day, after the second round of muffins, I had to wait 2 hours before I could eat. I was hangry and cranky and It was awful. I felt like I was doing, you mentioned you did Nutrisystem.
Oh, man. Yeah. I call that cardboard eating.
Yeah, that's what this felt like.
Oh, awful. Just absolutely. I remember I white knuckled it through losing 20 to 30 pounds on that. And when I got done, I threw the rest of the food away. Because I'm like, I'll never do this again.
Never.
If I have to do this to lose weight, I'm going to be
just going to be heavy. Yeah. I get it. But it made me appreciate. I'm so grateful that I had those 2 days. Today, I'm fully fasted. I'm logging my coffee. I have to log everything I eat and drink in their app for the study. And they're probably, once they get it, they'll be like, she's just drinking coffee in San Pellegrino. They'll know. I mean, Tim Spector understands intermittent fasting. He's one of the lead scientists. But it feels so good to be fasting today. I'm just going to eat my normal dinner. And I already feel better. But it makes me sad for the people that are trapped because I felt like a low-calorie dieter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was miserable. And then I'm sure I ate way more. You add up all these little crazy, unsatisfying muffin meals that I was having. And
oh, sure. Yeah, and I remember one of the things I did to lose weight before was exercise a lot more, I like to listen to audiobooks. And so I would just go on a walk and listen to audiobooks. And so I would walk, gosh, I was up to like almost between 15 and 20,000 steps a day. For a while, and I lost 20, 30 pounds, but that was totally unsustainable.
Because it takes a lot of time to do that.
It takes a lot of time, and you get tired, and I don't live in Florida. I live in Kansas, and we do have winters here. So, yeah. So, winters is very, very difficult to get outside and do a lot of exercise.
Oh, yeah, I would bet. You could still exercise here in Georgia. We're still, and we have winter, but you can still go out and walk. You have to bundle up, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some. So, now you're doing, You mentioned you like to play sports. Mm-hmm. You play. Is it soccer that you play? What other types of exercise do you enjoy?
I play golf pretty regular basis, though, as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But that, that's just good activity that makes you feel good. And, and it's not like, having to go to the gym, and it's a game and you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I think everybody needs to find a way to be active that feels right to them and is fun.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. I remember, when I was in my 20s, playing soccer with a whole bunch of international guys from all over the world. And this is like 65-year-old guy from Peru, who was like 5 foot, just stocky guy. He just would never stop. I remember saying to him when I was in my 20s, like, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I still want to be playing soccer when I'm in my 60s. And so for me, that's part of my goal of trying to get down to 165 is I want my knees to be good. I don't want to, if I drop a little bit more weight, then my knees will be even better. And I won't walk around like I'm a 95-year-old man with bad knees for 2 days after playing soccer. Oh, that was so much fun. Oh, I'm so miserable.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I remember those days of being when I was obese and how hard it was just to move around and how everything ached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to be that person either. I want to be the 65-year-old with all the stamina and the energy to do whatever.
Yeah, and they're like, are you sure you're 65? Like, here's my driver's license right here. So,
yeah, that's what I want. I want to be that same exact person. And I think intermittent fasting gives us that hope and that, we're going to age well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think so.
Yeah, are you, you're 50 now or 49 now?
49.
Okay. I know you mentioned you had a birthday, but the birthday, I wasn't sure if the birthday was turning 49 or turning 50. So
Yeah, not 50 yet. So
okay. I'm in a new decade for the
year. That'll be next year. 40s have been wild.
Yeah.
They've been good, but wild. I didn't expect the last year.
No.
the last year has been like, okay, yeah. I feel like, the pandemic, that's crazy. I'm like, everyone's like thinking about like possibly dying.
Right.
And I'm like going, yeah, that was like so 6 months ago.
You've already been there, done that. That's great. You're not worried about the pandemic is in your rearview mirror now.
Right. Exactly.
Hopefully for all of us. We're all hoping that comes to an end soon because.
Oh, I hope so too.
Although again, like I said, masks are here to stay. I've started buying them do you match your outfit with your mask or do you just wear whatever? That's what I'm trying to figure out now.
Yeah, it's strange. I know back in 2004, January 2004, we traveled to China to adopt our daughter, Emily. And that was right after the whole SARS thing.
Yep.
And China had closed down. And then 3 months later, they opened up. And we ended up going to China like a couple months after they reopened. And people were still wearing masks then, though, as well, around Beijing and in other places. And so I did not realize that was a coronavirus. But we're like, hold on. This is all like really familiar.
Right. That's true. Because, you know, we never used the words. I mean, lay people, we didn't say the words coronavirus. I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, doctors knew that those were coronaviruses, but we'd never heard those words.
Oh, no. I remember being called SARS, but then I don't remember anybody saying corona related to that.
No. My niece was actually in China when this time when it all happened. Ooh. She was in China. Yeah, she was working for the Peace Corps. She was teaching English in Chinese universities, or I guess one Chinese university, but she was there and the Peace Corps had to evacuate her. But she said it was crazy the way everything just shut down. Is that your dog?
Yes.
So if they'll edit that out or not, yeah. We'll hear a dog. But it was just crazy. But I think over there, they're used to wearing the masks and they've been wearing them for a while. And they just pull them out. So it's weird to think that that may be now part of our landscape as well.
Yeah. And, you know, for some people feel very comfortable wearing masks. Others don't feel very comfortable doing that. But wherever you go, I mean, just kind of paying attention to what others are doing and what they're requiring. I don't have any problem wearing a mask. It's probably just good hygiene problem.
Yeah.
Overall, although it's very strange looking at people that you know, and if they're wearing a hat and a mask, and you can only see their eyes, you don't have a clue who they are.
That is weird how people look so different. That's true.
Yeah, because you don't look at people like dead in the eye very often at all.
And you see
you see their whole face, but you look straight in their eye. You're like, I'm looking at you in the eyes. I know you, but do I know who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw somebody at the post office. I said I was at the post office this morning, and I saw someone. I think she might have been a parent of a child, but I couldn't. I was like, I don't know. I think she's familiar. I'm just not gonna. Yeah, it was. I get it. That was just so strange.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
So back to your ADF fasting protocol. Do you think you're going to stick with this long term? Or, I mean, is this a pattern that you love? Because some people love the ADF pattern so much it becomes their lifestyle. Like they live it. Are you hoping one day to come back to the eating window approach, or are you just going to kind of play it by ear, see how you feel?
Well, I know I think I'm pretty much going to stick with this until I hit my goal.
Okay.
And my goal is that my low weight was going to be 165. My wife and I had this conversation. Is it going to be a low weight, going to be 165, or is that going to be your high weight? Because I fluctuate as much as 5 pounds,
oh, yeah.
5 pounds a day. So I'll probably do this till I hit my goal. And then after that, either go to one meal a day and then do some extended fasting if I need to. But we'll see. I don't know what sustaining that low weight is going to look like.
Yeah,
I know I have the tools to modify if I start gaining weight or if that's not a sustainable weight for me, because it's possible that might be too low.
Just have to see.
I might be, you can keep that as long as you keep vigilant. Well, is that really what I want?
Because you have to enjoy your life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to find the weight that your body settles at, where you're also living the kind of life that feels like the kind of life you want to live. Because mm-hmm. who wants to be really, really, you know, lean yet miserable and not enjoying life?
Oh, yeah. No, not me. Not at all. I like food.
I do too.
Though as well. That's why the vegetarian thing didn't work for me very well, because I love meat. So I was like, this is okay, but I'm a meatitarian. I would prefer.
So would you say you eat like your, what style of eating? You just really eat all foods? You're kind of an omnivore?
Burgers and steak. Yeah. In fact, I've got really started getting into eating steak and vegetables and grill. I mean, I love to grill.
Oh, yeah.
Though as well. So we've started, you know, because I'm not eating as much, we're starting, oh, you know, instead of going to get the grocery store to go get the steak, I'm going to the butcher shop.
To
get a really good steak.
Food then, snob.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly, I get it. That's right. You know, if you're only eating this certain amount of times, it better be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. So I still like nachos and salsa mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And occasionally eat Doritos, though, as well. But
yeah, that's one thing I've never lost the taste for. I don't buy them because I would eat too many Doritos and I wouldn't feel good. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned I really just want to feel good more than anything. So, you know, I don't eat a lot of sugar because it makes me not feel good. Mm-hmm. More so than like I shouldn't have sugar. It's just, you know, I'm not going to feel great. After having those muffins, I had the restless legs that afternoon. And
sure. Well, and I've actually started doing taking some vitamin supplements, and I've started the magnesium stuff mm-hmm. from bio-optimizers and stuff. Yep. And started doing a lot of that kind of stuff. Actually, I think now I'm probably getting towards being the healthiest I've probably been in my life. So
that's great. And, you know, I think your 50s are just going to be better and better.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, people say you get over the hill when you're 40. I remember people talking about that when you know, get over the hill. And my response to that was, okay, I've always liked roller coasters. And
you go down and then you go back up.
And it was never the up that I really liked. It was always the down that I thought was fun. So,
yeah, that's a great analogy, a great way to think about it. So you're going to keep spreading the word to people and mm-hmm. bringing them to the intermittent fasting lifestyle. How many people would you guess that you've brought to it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, 10 to 20 or more. I don't know how many people have just tried it and just experimented with it. And I talk about it with my extended family on a regular basis. They're like, oh, no, here he goes again. Talking about it, they look at me and they haven't seen me now for like 4 or 5 weeks. And they go, have you lost more weight? Or they're watching me on Facebook Live with our church service. And they're like, are you smaller than you were 2 weeks ago? I'm like, yes. In fact, I'm back wearing those size 30 pants that I bought just before cancer.
Wow.
And that I'm back to wearing, which I never thought I would be. And I mean, I've been putting off going to buy a lot of new clothes.
Well, that's smart.
But because things are still, I mean, it's so baggy, and even the smaller stuff is starting to get baggy. So I'm kind of, I don't know what I'm going to end up being. I mean, I'm wearing larges. I can never imagine. I always wore extra large or, I mean, a 2X. I mean, I always like things baggy, but when a large, this is like a large shirt I'm wearing right now. For a large to be
big. It's too big. I can see Jason, his shirt's too big.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, wait till you settle in where you're going to be. And, you know, you mentioned before not knowing what maintenance would look like. And that's, mm-hmm. it's okay not to, because you'll figure it out as you go. I can tell already you're great at listening to your body, you know, because you knew when you needed to not fast and when fasting felt right. And so your body will tell you, and you'll know, and you'll be like, okay, I need to eat a little more, or I need to eat a little less, and you'll just kind of settle right in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that'll be a learning experience like all of this has been.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, there'll be periods of time, you mentioned already that your weight fluctuates. So you'll end up within a range instead of like you're not going to be one, you know, 65. It's going to be more of a range surrounding whatever, you know, that pivot point is. You'll go up, you'll go down, but you'll always kind of gravitate to whatever that.
Yeah. And so I always say my weight is my lowest weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to,
I like that.
As opposed to the average of a week. I'm like, whatever was the lowest of that week, that's what I say is my weight. Even if I only hit it once, that was it. So.
I get it. I understand. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I wish I had known more about the alternate daily fasting protocols, because I think I probably would have started, probably even started with that, as opposed to trying to do one meal a day. Because I think that was, I found that to be very, very helpful. And especially as somebody who fairly experienced faster in doing different types of fasting, fasting for a day was not hard for me at all. But as my wife, when she has tried to do even fasting for 16 or 20 hours, it's been difficult. And it's a challenge for most people to even think about denying themselves food. I mean, because the first time I ever fasted, driving down the street, every single fast food restaurant, their lights are brighter.
I know what you mean.
They're just popping up. It's like, oh, Taco Bell. Oh, Burger King. Oh. It's like everything. It's like, do these restaurants exist normally? No.
I've never seen them before.
Yeah. And so just, I think just be patient and kind with yourself as you begin and start the process, and, you know, try and experiment with longer fasts, even for a day, if it's 16 hours or 20 hours or whatever you end up doing, that to just be kind with yourself and just trust that the process will work and that you will lose the weight. It may not happen as fast as you want it to, but you can have confidence that it's going to come off.
Yep. And sometimes people mistakenly think that everyone else except for them is losing weight very, very quickly. And I'm like, where are you getting that idea? Because that's not true. This is not a speedy thing. It's a process, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Well, Jason, I'm so glad that you're doing well and that you have beat that cancer and that you are going to be hitting the 50s mm-hmm. next year.
Yes.
Just like me, I'll wait for you here in the 50s.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
And it was great to talk to you, and thank you so much.
It is great to talk to you as well. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate all the work that you guys are doing and in your guys' chat rooms and stuff. That's kind of how we got connected and just kind of sharing this story with you guys, and just appreciate all your support. So thanks again.
Thank you. Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.